The hunter must have an IQ of no less than 50, but of no more than 72.
That's not outside the realm of reason.
What, the upper limit or the lower limit?
Your choice. Depends on the state. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
That's not going to make any sense to any of you. Welcome back. This month to Seemingly Unrelated. That's the podcast where we take a look at the stories behind the everyday stuff, because it turns out even your dishwasher may have been involved in genocide. I'm your host, Dr. Andrew Johnstone, and if you're seeing this on YouTube or in a podcast app, and it's like 20-ish minutes long, you're only getting the free version, and the free version is just a preview. This is a special bonus Patreon episode for our Patreon supporters who for just $2 and or pounds a month, they support us. So we give them a bonus episode over at patreon.com/seemingly unrelated. And this month, it's real special because I'm going to get to slack off a little bit. I'm going to get to learn something new. So let me start actually by introducing producer of the show who's popping on this bonus episode. We've just recorded the last episode of season 3, so we are buzzing. It's producer Naomi. Hello, Naomi.
Hello. I also want to just make a comment about this preview thing. So I think £2 a month or $2 a month is a really reasonable to get so many episodes that we have. And my friend Lewis, if you're listening, said that he was like, oh, I'm so annoyed it was just a preview. Like, I wanted to hear the whole thing. Just pay £2, Lewis. It's so cheap.
He doesn't even like, do it for more than a month. If you just pay £2 once, and you download get like the episodes.
You get like £30. And I didn't say that to him at the time, and I thought I'm going to speak to him on the preview. So
thank
there
you.
We go.
Lewis, give me your money.
Rant done.
This month, as I said, and we're flipping things around. We've got now, I want to say three timer, but that seems like it could be wrong. It could be four timer on the show at this point. He is a writer, he's a raconteur, and he's a friend of the show. Phil W. Bales. Phil, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Phil, you brought this episode to our doorstep, which means that you and Naomi have conspired behind my back to educate me, a professor of media, culture, and society. So I turn over to you now. Please introduce a little bit of what we're going to talk about, and let's see how this goes. I'll do my best to be a good co-host.
And I'll do my best to be the British version of Andrew. So yeah, as a special treat for you and all of your listeners, and Lewis, if he manages to fork over a couple of quid from his wallet, we're going to be diving into the world of cryptids.
What is a cryptid? I genuinely don't know off the top of my head.
So a cryptid is, depending on who you ask, most people would say a cryptid is an animal that does not exist. But if you ask a cryptozoologist, they will tell you that a cryptid is just an animal that we haven't discovered yet.
Okay. Cryptozoology, very much know what that is. Didn't realize the animals were called cryptids. So let's just, bing, Andrew learned something new today. Let's go, Phil.
I didn't
tell
know
me about cryptids.
I not to be that confused with the other job.
I think it depends on, if you ask the cryptozoologists, they'll say it's a job. If you ask their spouses and friends, they'll just say it's a very intense hobby.
They spend a lot of time online.
Now, I mean, Andrew, you'll be aware that the Americas are full of tales of these kind of strange beasts. You've got Bigfoot in the Pacific Northwest. Yep. You've got the Chupacabra down towards sort of Mexico way.
Absolutely.
I mean, you even moved across the pond and found the one place in the UK that has probably the most famous cryptid ever, not that far away down the road. Have you seen Nessie yet?
I've been to Loch Ness. I don't think we saw anything that resembled Nessie, but I do want to note that cryptids are so common in the United States. Every state has one. And I am desperately trying to remember. Oh, yeah, Chessie. We have Chessie, the Chesapeake Bay monster. I forgot about Chessie.
Just a bit of a
That's the one from Maryland.
Yeah. It's a bit of a, yeah, you're right, Naomi. It's a bit of a, we, listen, New Jersey already took it to the devil. So we had to come up with something, I don't know, uninspired.
That's amazing. Well, today we're going to be taking a trip down a very specific rabbit hole, an antlered rabbit hole, because we're starting today by talking about the jackalope. Andrew, you know what a jackalope is?
I'm thinking of a jackrabbit. I don't know if those are two different things. They're the same thing. So it kind of looks like a bit of a... I can only see it mounted on a wall. It looks a bit like a small skull, like as if the size of a rabbit, but it has like horns that aren't like deer. That's not like deer antlers. It's more like just one kind of spirally two sets, but like singular. They don't have a bunch of points on them.
Well, you've hit the nail pretty much on the head there. So for anybody who's not familiar, The jackalope is an antlered rabbit. It's an antlered or horned rabbit. That's where the name comes from. It's a portmanteau of jackrabbit and antelope.
Oh, and so it's actually, like antelope horns.
Well,
not
you've
like
hit
deer
well
ones.
Actually
that makes sense now.
You've hit upon a very interesting little tidbit here, because depending on which regional variety of jackalope you're talking about, some of the plains ones do have your sort of sticky uppy horns a bit like a jackalope, but the mountain varieties do have what you think of as big antlers, almost like somebody, you know, almost like a moose or a, you know, or an elk or some one of these bigger
moose.
Oh, yeah.
I love to see moose antlers. Really? On a little skull?
Well, I wanted to tell you a bit more about these amazing animals. I should say from the off, A lot of the research from this podcast came from an absolutely delightful book, which is called On the Trail of the Jackalope by the very appropriately named Michael P. Branch, who is professor of literature and environment at the University of Nevada in Reno. So thank you very much, Professor Branch, for diving down these rabbit holes with us. It is a delightful book. I would highly recommend it. I'm just going to give you kind of
we will link to the book in the show notes, and
please
will email him, assuming he's still alive, and be like, how do I get that career? Where's I also teach at the university. How do I do that bullshit for a career?
Boundless enthusiasm, I think, is the question of how you is the answer to how do you get that career.
Ruined.
So let me tell you a bit about jackalopes. They're found throughout the lower 48 states. They're found primarily in Wyoming, Colorado, Nebraska, and New Mexico are their four sort of biggest stomping grounds. As I've already alluded to, there are, in fact, sort of different subspecies of jackalope that are suited to the many different climates that you have. You have far too many climates in the United States. I think somebody once said that Britain's got history and America's got geography. That's all you've got.
Yeah, we've got something like 12 or 13 different climates. It's fine. It's fine.
Part of the reason that it's perhaps been so difficult to find many examples of them is that jackalopes are keen ventriloquists. They are known to mimic other animal calls and even to mimic human speech. They'll shout things like, he's over there, if a hunter is on its trail, and then they'll just gallop off in the other direction. Their mating rituals are very, very specific. The conditions have to be just so. In fact, jackalopes only breed during the lightning flashes in thunderstorms. So that goes some way to explaining why the population is so small. Plus, when you consider the fact that they've got antlers, that makes the whole thing. They have to, you know, how do jackalopes make love very, very carefully?
I was going to say lightning storm. It's not very common. Like, I don't feel like it's happening that often. So are they mating? I forgot the climate.
Don't even worry. Yeah.
So I retract my statement.
Yeah. I was going to say, I must have roomed with a jackalope in college. Am I right? Hey, joke about premature ejaculation.
Oh, dear.
I just had dated I've made a mistake.
It's all right. We all make mistakes. We're only human. Now,
you can tell that Phil is the father of a four-year-old.
So there's not much good eating on a jackalope, and given their kind of elusiveness, you'd think, why bother? You know, why bother? Why bother hunting them? Well, it turns out that the milk of jackalope does, the female jackalopes, is reported to have extremely powerful healing properties. So if you do wanted to try and tempt one out of its hiding hole, apparently they really like whiskey.
What are they doing out in Wyoming? Why aren't they in, I don't know, Kentucky, where bourbon is manufactured, or Tennessee?
Well, they're actually more they're all over the place, but we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Okay.
If you do wanted to hunt one, it is possible to get licenses. The state of Wyoming will administer hunting licenses for jackalopes, but again, to help with not accidentally culling the population, the conditions for jackalope hunting are very specific. The licenses are only given on the 31st of June between sunrise and sunset. That's the only time you're allowed to hunt jackalopes.
Do you according get that, to Naomi, do you get that joke?
No.
How many days are there in June?
Oh.
Hey.
Not very good at numbers.
Now I feel cruel saying this last fact, but another condition of the license is that the hunter must have an IQ of no less than 50, but of no more than 72.
What is funny about that is, as someone who's read a fair amount of gun and hunting license laws in the United States, that's not outside the realm of reason.
What, the upper limit or the lower limit?
Your choice. Depends on the state.
Now, this is unfortunately where I have to burst your bubble, Andrew, and I have to confess that the jackalope is not, in fact, a real animal.
What?
I know.
I didn't spit take. I thought about spit taking, but
I'm devastated. So you might be thinking, you know, why the hell did I bring this thing up if it turns out not to be real? Well, the difference is that unlike a lot of other cryptids, we can actually trace the idea of the jackalope, the origin of the jackalope, back to two specific people. And they are two brothers by the name of Ralph and Douglas Herrick.
Herrick. Okay. H-E-R-R-I-C-K. Gotcha.
Now, Douglas and Ralph Herrick grew up in the 1920s in the tiny town of Douglas, Wyoming. And before anybody asks, no, he's not the reason. He's not named after the town. The town isn't named after him. I believe the town is named after one of Wyoming's first senators. But
that sounds about right.
Just one of those funny little coinkydinks.
Or it's named after Stephen Douglas. But anyway, go ahead.
But like a lot of kids in rural America who grew up in the 20s and 30s during the Depression, Douglas and Ralph did a lot of hunting, partly just to supplement their family's food intake, but also to fuel their teenage hobby, which was...
And it's a shocker because, of course, Tom Hanks famously pees in every movie that he's in.
I can't watch Toy Story 4 with my kid anymore.
And now for those people still listening to the free one, we've got this little tag on the end. Lewis, give me 2 goddamn pounds. You owe
you
me.
You could afford it. You bought me a pint for like £5 before.
Give us the money now, Lewis. Patreon.com/seemingly unrelated. You can find out what happened between when this thing stopped and now. And you know what? You'll be surprised how much cervix there is in that episode. So if you're wondering how jackalopes have something to do with cervixes, $2 or £2, please, depending on what country you're in, use a VPN. Phil, we want to thank you so much for being on this episode. If you could please share with the audience, how can they find you on the internet so they can learn more about your joyous writings?
You can find me on pretty much all of my social medias are at Phil W. Bales. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Blue Sky. And my own personal website is philwbales.com, which includes links to some of the writing that I've had published in places. I've had stories published in the last year in Twisted Ink, 50 Word Stories, and Silly Goose Press.
Wow. See, strong branding. It's Phil W. Bales across the board. And Naomi, thank you for being on another bonus episode. Where do people, if they were thinking, I would also like to create an entire episode that connects a fake animal to a real disease, how do they get in contact with you so that they can make that happen?
The dream job. As everyone's been sat at home like, how do I do that? It's Instagram at Kaomi Productions. That's Naomi with a K instead of an N. And yeah, I can make your podcasting dreams come true. Can I just say as well, I love being on this Patreon platform because I feel like it feels like the fun best friend of Seemingly Unrelated, the main channel.
I agree. The bonus episodes are the fun best friend of the main channel. And the main channel is already kind of fun. But
this one's
like the busier one.
Yeah, this is the one where I feel like I let loose, you know?
Yeah. We've been to the pub already.
You kick back, you let the cool substitute teacher come in and do a lesson. He puts a video on half the time.
That's
great.
That's it.
He's the best.
That's the vibe.
Bonus Seemingly Unrelated is the best. Patreon.com/seemingly unrelated. So for Phil, for Naomi, for me, for Seemingly Unrelated, we want to thank you all for listening. We will be back in a month with another bonus episode, but possibly, because this is the one at the end of April, there may be a whole season that gets released in like 2 weeks.
Ooh.
If everything goes according to plan. So go ahead and hit subscribe to whatever, even for the free version, subscribe in whatever app you're in right now, and all that stuff will pop up when it's ready to go. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Seemingly Unrelated is a Life's Little Murder Boards production. Created and hosted by Andrew Johnstone. Audio production and editing services provided by Naomi Coe. Our artwork is by Megan Zement. The theme song is Irizumi by Pistol Jazz. To find out more about everyone involved and access the show notes for this episode, visit us at seemingly unrelatedpod.com.
Pay us your money.